Hello and welcome to the Home Uplink podcast. Today's February 28th.
End of the month.
End of the month.
This
end
is the last February. Day of February.
Yeah. Is it? It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's not a leap year.
Nope, not a leap year this year.
Nope, I don't remember when the last leap year was.
I don't know, but that doesn't matter.
Exciting news.
It's the last day.
Do you want to unveil our exciting news?
What news?
That we got Miami?
No, that we're in three, well, pretty much the entire state of Florida.
Okay, Zach's being a little coy about this because we have multiple different pieces of exciting news. Uh-huh. But the main thing I should have asked him before this instead of putting him on the spot, which I apologize, but we have Jacksonville and we have Miami currently. So if you started this journey with us, we appreciate you. But now we have advanced our foothold in the open house market and now have infiltrated Miami and Jacksonville. So we are currently mostly all of Florida. Every open house comes through us. Every open house gets turn-by-turn directions through us. Every open house gets synopsis and pictures, and we know the agents and everything. I mean, on the basis of last weekend alone, I believe I did the math Saturday, Sunday, because, of course, those are the main open house days. I think we actually were over 3,500 open houses successfully presented, successfully given out to the public for free. Given pictures and synopsis and directions and everything that you can imagine. I mean, I'm looking at the bubble alone of Sunday, and it's a hot mess with how many open houses were on there. But, yes, so I wanted to share my excitement. Zach, obviously, is very excited as well. Geez, I mean, he can barely contain himself from just the sudden joy that is we having joined three successful MLSs, integrating their software with ours and giving the easiest way to find open houses to almost all of Florida other than the Panhandle, which will be next, but hey.
Don't forget Naples.
Yes, Naples is a different beast, but Naples is
not really a different beast. I'm not going to subscribe to one MLS with like 200 people in it.
If you're from Naples, do me a favor and just like join Miami or Stellar. Just make it easy on us. That would be great. But on that, let's go forward with what we're running into lately. I mean,
Our topic for today.
It's a riveting one.
Well, it is actually. It's kind of interesting.
No, it is. I'm being honest. It's not about the war. So it's not.
Yeah, and I think, well, we're not political pundits. We're talking about real estate.
Correct.
We're real estate brokers.
Correct.
So, interesting news. All right. For the third straight month, there's been a decrease in home sales. So, with housing inventory at an all-time low,
correct.
Contract signings decreased 6% month over month in January. The third consecutive drop, this third consecutive month for a drop. They reported on Friday, the National Association of Realtors, they're looking to an indicator that we're currently down 9.5%, just shy of 10% compared to last year in January.
Okay.
So we're 10% less in terms of contract signings.
Okay.
As we were in January, or sorry, February of 2021.
Okay.
And then all four major regions of the United States posted annual declines in activity, which is the first time since the buy-in-ing has happened. Where
wait a second.
All four regions, and mind
wait
you,
a second.
Regions is based upon the West, which is Alaska, Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, and Arizona. Did I say Arizona? New Mexico, whatever. Then the South is Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, you know. Basically, Virginia down. Northeast, you could understand Pennsylvania, New York, Maine, Maryland, Rhode Island, that sort of thing. Midwest, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, you know, all those things, Minnesota. All of them down. So we've got a, in it right here, the breakdown currently is the West, month over month, has seen a 1.5% increase. But that's because they saw a decrease last month. So this is up from the decrease that they had.
Okay.
To the Midwest having a month over month of 6% decrease, the South having a 6.3% decrease, and the Northeast having 12.1% decrease in contract signings month over month.
Okay, so...
where do you think people are leaving?
Okay, yes, yes, Northeast. I got let's play devil's advocate right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're reading these stats off to you guys because we find it pretty interesting that, you know, the lack of housing on the market is obviously, you know, lowering the amount of actual sales going through. We get that. It is the season of not really selling your house. November, December, January, February. Yeah, it's kind of one of those. Everybody's focusing on the holidays. After that, everyone's getting their New Year's resolutions all done. And then before you know it, it's April. Everyone's looking at children getting out of school. And boom, everything pops on the market, right? I've been telling people, boom, wait till end of March, beginning of April. You might see a huge influx in properties because people are going to start gearing it up because it does take 30 to 45 days to sell your property. So if the kids are out of school at the end of May, beginning of June, you might see some stuff popping up in April, right? But the only thing that if you're playing devil's advocate, okay, the calendar year, there isn't, in my opinion, enough property here for everybody moving here. And that's what's going to keep.
It depends where you're looking, though. And the problem, here's the thing about playing devil's advocate is, yes, definitely. In some markets like Florida specifically, Texas, Florida, and the likes, they're basically propping up the month-over-month contract signings from not being like 12%. But honestly, though,
yeah.
Florida and Texas are signing, home sales are at an all-time high. Right. These two markets are on fire. Okay. And now the same people will say, well, Atlanta, Georgia is on fire. Or, you know, do you know Raleigh, North Carolina?
Or Tennessee. Also,
yes, but those are drops in the bucket comparatively. Because you have to realize, a property in Georgia selling for $250,000, that's fine. And, you know, they're all selling really quickly. But the problem in markets like Texas and Florida is that same $250,000 house now costs $400,000 and it's selling just as fast.
We see, we kid you not, we see properties that were purchased in 2019, 2020.
I see 2021.
I see 2021, and I see people trying to flip for 70 to 100K within the first year. Obviously, they don't really realize that they really can't do that because it's going to be capital gains tax. But hey, I mean, they're looking at trying to make a quick buck, or maybe they can't afford it any longer and they realize that they're in over their head and they want to sell. And as of right now, the bottom of the bucket hasn't completely fallen out, so obviously they can still make their money out and a little bit then some. But we were at we actually went to a sit down with some real estate individuals last week, and one of our instructors who was doing a presentation was also talking about how he went to a economist meeting the night before, and how multiple people in Central Florida, especially in the local colleges, especially in economy, have watched and tracked all of the latest migration to Central Florida. And what they realized was over the last year, they had over 250,000 people move to Central Florida from an outside state, not in state, an outside state. So within the last year of 2021 to 2022, they were sitting there saying that 250,000 people just added in population to Central Florida, not Tallahassee, not Jacksonville, not Miami, to Central Florida. And they're looking at it in the next 10 years, another 2.5 million. So they're looking at basically a steady increase of 250,000 for the next 10 years to Central Florida, which that is, again, if they're coming from a region like what Zach was saying, the Northeast, and they have that money to burn, they're going to come down here and still get a good deal, and they're going to then prop the market up, right?
No, I mean, it's safe to say that in a place, here's what I'm trying to say, right? Think about it from the perspective that people understand California's housing prices. Okay. We are, you know, I was born there. So are you.
Yep.
And basically family lived there their entire lives till we ended up moving in 1999. And the difference is, you know, people who bought a house on Redondo Beach or, we knew some people who owned properties in like Malibu or places like that back in the 70s, back in the 80s, right? 60s even. It was really inexpensive comparatively, right?
Yeah.
Comparatively to today, right? Now you're going to say, oh, but back in the 60s, a house that's $120,000 is a lot of money. I'm aware.
But you could have lived off the equity for the rest of your life if you bought that house.
But what I'm saying is that it's the same thing, right? Because inflation-wise, from 1960 to today, $120,000 house in Malibu that now costs like $8 million, that's not inflation, right? If I had 120 grand in the market, no, it's not going to happen. So that's sort of the same understanding that you kind of have to have right now, which is the only reason that that is an expensive property in California is because people want to live there.
So I have a chart I just pulled up. I know you guys can't see it, but it's a population chart from the Northeast, which is specifically New York State and Florida. Okay. And it starts from the 1920s, which, you know, in the 1920s, there was 1 million people in Florida and there was 10 million in New York. Okay. But let's just forward it to 2000, right? 2000 is still a relatively, you know, recent time to where people feel comfortable about the year 2000. So we're talking about Florida at 15 million people in the year 2000. And we're talking about New York at 18 million people in the year 2000. Well, in the year of 2012, they coincide and New York actually loses 1 million people and Florida gains 4 million people. And if we keep going, New York now is around 19 and Florida is around 23. So we're getting an influx of people who are A, retiring, so they have a stable, steady income, potentially a pension, retirement fund, 401k, stocks, bonds. We're getting them from a cold weather state. They're tired of dealing with, you know, the hustle and bustle of a particular type of lifestyle, and they're moving to a more economically sound property that they can then see themselves living in for the rest of their life. In my opinion, it's tough because I talk to people all the time who ask, when is it going to cool off? And I can't give them a time because I don't know if you've listened, but my doomsday was like October of last year because I thought after the moratorium that was finally lifted that we were going to have an influx in rental properties. But as I can see right now, it's actually taken quite a while to actually get those rental properties back on the market, just with courts and, you know, with people fighting it and so on and so forth. So I don't know. I see this report and I think, oh, okay, good. Yeah, we're finally slowing down a little bit. But then I think to myself, well, there's just not that many properties on the market currently. So, I mean, if there was an extra 5,000 properties on the market every month, yes, of course, the numbers would then increase. But the more properties that pop on the market, the more opportunity you have to find a property, you don't feel like you have to overbid. You don't feel like you have to overpay. You don't feel like you're fighting against seven other people. And that's what's still happening today. And I don't know if Florida is going to change in the near future. That's the tough part. People are still comfortable purchasing properties here in Florida at this price. And it's so many reasons that are affecting this. You know, people are retiring early. People are figuring out they can work from home and still make a reasonable amount of money. You know, people want to buy or they want to sell at high and buy at high, or people want to downsize and they want to buy something more manageable. There's so much movement. And that's what it's like. This is unheard of. If the pandemic didn't happen, I don't necessarily think that it would be this abrupt. But I believe no one had any intention of the pandemic happening, obviously, and nobody had any intention of people flocking to a state that Texas and Florida, I mean, they're going to have the biggest population probably in the United States here in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, the way things shake out, and that's what I was trying to allude to, is the fact that, I don't want to say in the same aspect, because I know everybody in living here now for a year and change. I will say, economically speaking, the amount of companies, tech companies, just overall banking companies and some investment firms and stuff like that moving to Florida, moving to Jacksonville or Miami, or, you know, even here in Orlando, there's quite a few. That increase is kind of the same thing that Silicon Valley was to California. And for people who don't know, the only reason California became a tech hub was because they gave, tech startup companies basically no state taxes, basically at all, for having their businesses be there. And that brought all of them to that area, not because it was an advantageous place, but because they were given, you know, a tax shelter. Now that's kind of going away as times change, because California needs money. And so tax are being levied on places that they weren't initially. And that's why companies are moving out of states like California and moving to Texas and Florida. And, you know, a lot of manufacturing is also leaving. They're going to places like Ohio, Oklahoma. And in that being the case, they're taking the people with them.
You know what? I think in that aspect too, I think that when this started happening and the .com bubble was created and all these tech startup companies started, I think it was cool to be in California.
No, I mean, that's the thing. That's what I'm trying to say, is it was cool. The only reason it was cool was because the companies, you know, Apple and, you know, Microsoft is in Washington and Yahoo, and now, you know, it's Netflix and Uber and all, you know, Instacart and all these companies are there, right? And it was only cool because the companies and the heads of the companies were like, well, I'm going to get a huge tax break from being here, so of course I'm going
to
be there.
Well, and they made it, I think psychologically, if I was to break it down, I think they made it like kind of where, you know, if you want to be on Broadway, you go to New York, you know?
Yeah,
if you want to be a successful tech company, you go to Silicon Valley.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've marketed it that way. I mean, they've made TV shows, they've made movies, they've made literally everything saying that you need to be there if you want to be
anywhere. And I think it literally took 20 years in a pandemic for people to figure out that they could do it.
Well, it's funny.
Anywhere.
It's really funny, because you'd think like the tech industry is supposed to be, you know, very cutting edge, very on in the forefront,
forward thinking,
very in the forefront. But they're like, oh, you have to come into the office in San Francisco, pay $6,000 a month in rent, that, you know, five people all live in your apartment, and you're each paying $6,000 a month for this, tiny little townhome. And you're going to work for 14 hours here, because we're going to make it so comfortable for you to work here for 14 hours.
Get to coding, kid.
And now they've learned that, oh, the people aren't going to come back into the office and work 14 hours. They're just going to work in, from home, and they're just going to do that instead. Wait,
and they can live outside of state and actually afford a place to live off their salaries and buy something and, you know,
and
hold
that,
on.
That
kinda, wait a second.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that changed things. And now those companies that have these giga hubs, you know, they sat there and bought all this land to create these absolutely massive, you know, atrocities of businesses. I furnished some of them, so trust me, they're atrocities. They're empty.
Yeah, yeah.
And because people don't want to come back. And so what happens for them is they're like, oh, well, there's no other company that's going to want to live in our, or, you know, there's no other company that's going to lease out this,
no,
you know, giga circle we just made. So
does Ford need another manufacturing plant in California? Oh, no, they're all in Mexico. No, never mind.
They're not going to do, or Canada. They're not going to do that here. Dang.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where as times change, you know, they tried really hard to make certain places synonymous with specific industries. And I think that's going to, I think what's happened over the past year, 2 years now has really changed the understanding of business and people who work in businesses in general.
I think that's a lot of, I mean, so that's a very good segue, because if you were to say that about tech companies, you could say that about actors. You no longer have to be in Beverly Hills or Hollywood to become a famous actor. You could become a famous actor off your YouTube channel, you know, or a singer or a writer, or, I mean, I think that with the advancement of technology, obviously the internet, it has opened up quite a few different areas, but the idea of real estate still tends to be a little archaic.
But the problem is here's the thing about real estate is it will always be archaic because it is a brick, you know, funnily enough, it's one of those things where it's brick and mortar, but not your brick and mortar, right? You don't have a realtor or, you know, a loan officer or an insurance agent or a title company. They don't really have to operate out of a business per se, right? Yeah. They can go to your house. They can go, but here's the thing. Your house is the transaction, right? Your house is the brick and mortar place where people do their work. So in actuality, the problem with the advancement into a more tech-related field, yeah, is a lot of things. Like, you're right, an actor can be spotted on YouTube and now become an actor, or a singer can be a SoundCloud artist. They don't have to be sitting there waiting tables in LA hoping that a guy's going to come in and ask them to act because they look so handsome working at McDonald's like Brad Pitt, right? That's not going to happen.
Correct.
Because they're going to go, oh, well, this person on YouTube's already a star, so let me just whip them into this movie, and that's going to be great.
They're already making more money on YouTube than they are anywhere else.
So. But that's besides the point. What I'm saying is that in every aspect, a lot of things can become free because you're doing it on the internet. You can do it from wherever. It doesn't matter. But real estate as a business and as a basically an understanding, it's real. Yeah. Get it? It's real estate, you know? You can't do any. I'm not going to buy a house in the metaverse. Sorry, I don't.
How would you live there?
Yeah, I can't live in a house. I can live in a box while I have my VR headset on, I guess. But
at least you have a big house in the metaverse.
That's the problem.
You can afford a big house.
Yeah, it'll never change. Yeah. You know, I can't go live in the computer yet. So you really still have to buy a house in person. Yeah. And so the tech world can speed things up, right? Yeah. Like us, we're trying to make things easier.
Yep.
And in tech, I think a lot of it is streamlining and making things easier on consumers and the people who work in the field as well.
Want to find open houses immediately?
Yeah.
The drop of a hat. I mean, honestly, and then get turn by turn directions and more fixtures and immediate, you know.
Sure, sure.
Knowledge of who's hosting the open. I mean, like, that's
sure.
That's something that we thought years ago about, you know. Everybody wants their cake and eat it too. I get it. I do.
But what I'm trying to say is that it comes to a point where it's you know, you can only get to a point where somebody comes, oh, I'm going to make a smart door, right? You can only...
Well, Amazon tried that, didn't they?
And, well, yeah, that's kind of what the Ring is. But what I'm saying is there's a point of redundancy because you can't change how real estate operates.
No, no, no.
So trying to over-tech a subsect of it, it becomes redundant. You can't sit there and remake, you know, sure, you can have solar panels as windows. You can have a solar roof with Tesla. You know, you can have a thermostat that you can operate from your phone. You can have lights that you can operate from your phone. You can have a tech house.
Yeah.
Right? You can have a smart home. You can power it with the sun, right? You can drive at a car that charges in your house that's powered by the sun, right? You can do all these things and have a smart home, but it's still real estate.
Yeah, still a home.
It's still a home. It's
still a transaction that you have to have.
So in all these, there's no ethereal part to it. So everybody has to deal with that. It's purchasing a property will always be a in-person business because you're going to live in it.
You have to.
So.
Yep. So on that note, kind of got on another tangent, who would have thought. We, of course, want to hear from everybody in the metaverse. You know, we appreciate you guys coming by, and we have been a little busy lately. So, again, we apologize. We're hoping that, you know, in the near future, we can just make a ton of money and then just devote all of our time to sitting here with like cool cameras and podcasting and making all this stuff, because then it wouldn't be, you know, and we'd just be doing it as a hobby instead of just, you know, talking. But again, you know, check us out. Go to the site. We again have Miami and Jacksonville and Central Florida and thousands of properties per week come on and then come off and then come on and then come off. So we're ever changing. So again, stop by, take a look. You can then hit us up at admin@homeuplink.com. If you have any questions or concerns, if you want us to talk about something specifically, or if you just want to hang out, let us know. And then you're already listening to us, so of course you already got the podcast, but stop by our social media feeds as well if you want to take a look at any of the listings or see what we have on Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah, thanks for coming by and listening yet again.
All right, and happy February.